بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Him to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. We are still talking about the history of a period in our history, the Umayyad era. We mentioned that Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, died in the year 64. And in Al-Basra, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad ran away. Then in Ash-Sham, they tried to appoint Muawiyah, the son of Yazid, to become the next caliph. But he refused, and he died a short time afterwards. During this time, when there was no Khalifa yet agreed upon, there showed up two tribulations, one in Al-Basra and one in Khurasan. The tribulation in Al-Basra was among the people of Al-Yaman, the tribes of Al-Yaman, and the one in Khurasan was a tribulation that Abdullah ibn Khazim, the governor of Khurasan, started because he had hatred to the Arabs and despise for them. He mistreated the Arabs among his soldiers, and because of this hatred and this bias, if you want, this made the soldiers and the Muslims fight among each other, the Arabs and the non-Arabs. And it led to the killing of many, many Muslims. Then, later, the Umayyads agreed to choose a man called Marwan ibn al-Hakam for the caliphate. So, Marwan became this caliph, this third caliph, in the Umayyad dynasty. However, this is in Ash-Sham. However, in the rest of the Muslim land, the people of Khurasan, Persia, Iraq, Egypt, even Damascus, which was the capital of the Umayyad, people agreed upon Abdullah ibn Zubayr to be their caliph. So in that sense, the Umayyads did not control except Jordan and Palestine. And Marwan wanted to retrieve that control, so he sent armies towards those areas to ensure their return under the Umayyads' control. While this was happening, the renegades, the Khawarij, they became stronger, seeing that the Muslims don't have a head of a state, that there were tribulations among them. They took advantage of that, and they became strong, and they started raiding different areas where Muslims lived, killing them, looting them, and even not sparing the children or the women. So, Al-Muhallab fought them and killed in the battles about 7,000 of these renegades, and the harm of these Khawarij or renegade went off the backs of the Muslims, at least for some time. We mentioned also that while this is happening in Al-Basra, in Al-Sham, in Al-Kufa, however, a man called Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubaidillah al-Thaqafi, Al-Mukhtar al-Thaqafi, a man in Al-Kufa showed up. Remember, Al-Kufa is next to Baghdad. Al-Basra is in south of Iraq. So this man showed up, and he claimed that he wants to avenge the death of Al-Husayn, radiyallahu anhu. And he claimed that Muhammad, the son of Al-Hanafiyyah, the half-brother of Al-Husayn, he claimed that this Muhammad sent him to do this mission, to carry out the revenge for the blood of Al-Husayn. And of course he was a liar. He wanted to have people around him become their leader. And he said, tried to like sugarcoat what he claimed. He said that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah was the awaited Mahdi that the Prophet talked about. And he claimed himself to be the assistant of this Mahdi. And of course, this was a false claim. So this is how far we got in our previous lesson. Now in this year, while these were happening, which is the year 65, this fitna, this tribulation in Khurasan that Abdullah ibn Khazim was responsible for, he had this tribulation going on between him and the Arabs of Tamim for 2 years, fighting, shed blood, you know. Until they got, you know, fed up with such fighting, they just got bored, exhausted with it. So they had a treaty and they reconciled, and alhamdulillah, this fitna stopped. However, this Mukhtar, this man in Al-Kufa, who was paving the way for himself to become a leader, and claimed that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah was al-Mahdi and he himself was his assistant, he, when he fought against some people, the army of Umayyad, so he said, and remember, a Sahabi, Sulaiman ibn Surad, went out with him. So when this Sahabi was killed, he found that no one is questioning him about his claims. So, being shrewd and cunning, he went a step further. Other than just claiming that he is the assistant of Al-Mahdi, he started saying more things. And when people heard him saying the bad things, they would, you know, complain to the people in charge. They would put him in prison. And then, when they put him in prison, what does he do? He denied that he said such things. He said, they are lying about me. I didn't say those words. And he had something that helped him. He was married to the sister of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the great companion. He was married to his sister Safiya. And so when they put him in the prison, he was sent after Abdullah ibn Umar to get him out of the prison, claiming that people were fabricating things against him. So he would be set free. But some of those who fought with Imam Ali radiallahu anhu against Muawiyah, some of them started gathering around this Mukhtar, because they fought against Muawiyah and they fought with Ali, and Al-Husayn, who was massacred with his family, was the son of Ali, and this Mukhtar was claiming that he is avenging the death of Al-Husayn. So they thought that they had the same cause and he's leading it, so they were following him. And they say, we want to kill the killers of Al-Husayn. But they told him, those people who used to fight with Ali, they told him, if you want to be stronger, you want to, you know, have victory over those who fight you, you need the help of Ibrahim ibn al-Ashtab. Ibrahim, the son of al-Ashtab. And this man has a big tribe. So if he agrees to it, his tribe would follow him, then you have more soldiers. And also, he is also very intelligent. He is strong, he's a fighter, and also he is intelligent. So if he agrees to us, then he agrees to come with us, then we don't care whoever fights us, we will be winners. So they told him that. So Al-Mukhtar went with some people that were chosen to Ibrahim Al-Ashtar, Ibn Al-Ashtar. And of course, Al-Mukhtar wanted to what? To attract him, to bring him to his side. So he made a lie, and he said, Muhammad, the son of Al-Hanafiyyah, he ordered us to kill and fight the killers of Al-Husayn. And he orders you to support us. So Ibrahim ibn Ashtar was intelligent. He did not agree to that. He said, how? How do you know that he ordered us? He said, yeah, he sent me a letter to you. So, and he brought out some letter. And he gave it to Ibrahim. So Ibrahim opened it. He read in it, it says, from Muhammad, means the son of Al-Hanafiyyah, who is Al-Mahdi, to Ibrahim, the son of Al-Ashtar. And then it has statements in which it is claimed that Muhammad is ordering Ibrahim to fight with Al-Mukhtar against the killers of Al-Husayn. So Ibrahim said, Muhammad had written to me before, Muhammad had written to me before, and he did not write except his name and the name of his father. In the letter, it's the name of Muhammad and his mother. So he told him that's not the way he writes his books, his letters. When he wrote to me, he wrote his name and his father's name, not his mother's name. So he's telling him that I don't believe that this is a letter from Muhammad. So he had a doubt about it. However, some people who were with Al-Mukhtar stood up and they testified that this letter was sent by Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah to Al-Mukhtar to be given to Ibrahim. And Ibrahim knows these people and he believed them. Of course, they did not mean any harm. They wanted just Ibrahim to support them, because then they get bigger, you know, army and so on. But still, they were lying. And of course, their goal does not justify their means. Yeah, that end is not justified. So he, when he heard the testimony of these two people, he said, okay, I'll go with you. Because now he believed them, and he was okay with it. So Al-Mukhtar was very happy. He put him on the command. He made him the commander of the soldiers. And then, because of that, Al-Mukhtar was able to control the area of Al-Kufa. And then he tried to go and control Al-Basra in the south, but he could not do that. But he was able to control other areas around. And then what did Al-Mukhtar started to do? Every time he hears that someone had participated in killing Al-Husayn or was a supporter of the killers of Al-Husayn, he would just have him killed. And when he became, you know, like victorious in many areas, he, as we said, made his claim a notch more. He claimed himself to receive al-wahi. He claimed that he is receiving revelation from God. God was telling him, you know, when to fight and what to fight, and he was given information, of course, falsely. He would tell his soldiers, go out, fight this army, you're going to find that army in so-and-so place, you will be victorious over it, claiming that God told him that, as if he knew the future. Now, when Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, Zainul Abidin, if you remember, he was the only son surviving that massacre in Karbala. So when he heard the news about Al-Mukhtar claiming himself to receive revelation, this great wali from the descendants of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام started damning this Mukhtar when he was at Al-Kaaba. So it means that he, when he was in Mecca at Al-Kaaba, Ali ibn al-Husayn, known as Zayn al-Abidin, damned al-Mukhtar for his fabrication, claiming to receive revelation. When Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya also received the news that al-Mukhtar claims that he sent him a letter that he was al-Mahdi and he was his assistant, and he wanted to leave his area and go to al-Kufa and face al-Mukhtar, show his, fabrication. Al-Mukhtar knew that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya had the intention to come to him and expose him. So what did he do? He told his, feeble-minded followers, he told them, there is a sign by which you would know if the person who met you is al-Mahdi or not. You hit him with a sword. If he doesn't die, then he is al-Mahdi. But if he dies, then he is not al-Mahdi. So you played this trick on them to kill, to have Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya killed. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya got the news that he was spreading such, information or such a claim among his people. So Muhammad, stopped, refrained from going to Al-Kufa. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya did not go, but the masses of the people were demanding to avenge the death of al-Husayn. When the mobs and the people get some ideas, it's easy to lead them left and right. That's what happens usually when the people at large numbers are out, and of course they are ignorant. Now Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who ran away, now came back to fight al-Mukhtar. He brought a big army from al-Sham. Al-Mukhtar sent Ibrahim ibn al-Ashtar to fight this army. And he used to pump his soldiers, he used to encourage his soldiers, this Mukhtar, this liar. He told them that this man who is coming, he is the one who ordered the killing of al-Husayn. He wants to fight you, you should go out and fight him. He has a large army, our army is small, but how many armies which were small were victorious over the larger army? So he was pumping them to fight Ibn Ziyad, and they did fight each other, and the army of Ibn Ziyad got defeated. And Ibn al-Ashtar, Ibrahim himself, Ibn al-Ashtar killed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the army commander of the Umayyads, in that battle. Then al-Mukhtar's tribulation continued in al-Kufa for a while and around, until Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was agreed to be the caliph among people, they agreed upon him in most of the areas, he sent al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra to fight al-Mukhtar, because he's claiming himself like a prophet, he's receiving wahi and so on. So al-Mukhtar sent an army to fight al-Muhallab, and he told his people, because he's claiming to receive revelation, you will defeat this army. However, his army was defeated. So they went back to him and he said, you claim that we will be victorious, that Allah told you about it. So how were we defeated? Look what he said. He said, Bada lahu, bada lah. He said about Allah that it occurred to him to change his mind. He meant that Allah changed his will. And this was the first person to say such a saying, to claim that the will of Allah changes, that it has a beginning and it changes. And this blasphemous statement was carried by others later. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ So, then this Mukhtar went out by himself, of course with the soldiers. Did not just send an army, he went on the head of the army to fight Al-Muhallab sent by Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Now when he went out, one of the influential people in Al-Kufa who was following him, thinking that he was a good person, he told him, look, now the issue, you are in a tight situation, what are you going to do? Al-Mukhtar said, I will fight until I die. This man was still following him. He said, Allah did not tell you what to do? Means you always claim that you get information from Allah. Now, Al-Mukhtar told this man, are you stupid? He said, I'm just a man. I saw people being my leaders. I wanted to be their leaders. So I claimed that I received revelation. I claimed that I want to avenge the death of Al-Hussein so that I become the leader. So it means I'm not receiving revelation. You still believe that? And he said, I'm not going to surrender to these people. I'm going to fight until death. So this influential person, when he discovered the lying and the fabrication of Al-Mukhtar, he was very sorry that he went out with him. The army of Al-Mukhtar and the army of Al-Muhallab, sent by Abdullah ibn Zubayr, fought together. And alhamdulillah, Al-Mukhtar was killed in that battle by he was killed in his fighting the army commanded by Al-Muhallab, which Mus'ab ibn Zubayr, the brother of Abdullah, has sent. Now, one of the things that Al-Mukhtar had done during his claim, that he spread the hatred between Arabs and non-Arabs, the Muslims who are Arabs and the Muslims who are non-Arabs. He just, ignited this, hate between two groups who do not have the same lineage. And that's why in his army, he used a lot of Persians against the Arabs. And these were not versed in the rules of the religion. So when he called them for whatever he called them, they just responded to him. They followed him. After this Mukhtar's tribulation was over and he was killed, Mus'ab ibn Zubayr, who was the brother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he focused on fighting Al-Khawarij, the renegades. Remember, they were spreading, their harm, killing people here and there. So he wanted to relieve the Muslims of their evil. But short time after that, Abdul Malik, the son of Marwan, mobilized an army to Iraq. Now who is Abdul Malik ibn Marwan? Remember Marwan ibn Hakam, who was the ruler? He died. How did he die? Remember his wife suffocated him with a pillow? So after he died, his son took his place. His name is Abdul Malik. So they call him Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, the son of Marwan. So, being the head of the state, and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, of course, was, paid allegiance to as the caliph. He did not like it. He wanted to be the caliph. So he mobilized army to fight Mus'ab, who was in Iraq, the brother of Abdullah. And Abdul Malik said, I do not trust anyone to lead the army. I will lead the army. Because he knew Mus'ab was a very good fighter, a very brave man, and he knows how to fight. And he knew him before. So he knew what he was, what his soldiers would be facing. So he knew that he is the only one who could go out against Mus'ab and score a victory. And then what Abdul Malik did is he started sending messages to the helpers of Mus'ab, you know, like the big assistants, telling them, enticing them to change sides, to come and visit and fight with him against their leader, Abu Sa'ab, rahimahullah. So, one of these messages were sent to Ibrahim ibn al-Ashtar, the main commander with Mus'ab. And he did not open the message, he gave it to Mus'ab to read it. So Mus'ab opened it, and in it, Abdul Malik was ordering Ibrahim, telling him, come to me and I'll you know, make you so and so, I'll give you money, etc. So he was making him deflect, you know, just defect from one side to another. But when Mus'ab read it, this did not intimidate him, did not, you know, change, make him like weaker because they're trying to reach out to his own assistants. Now, most of the assistants of Mus'ab had left the area. And Abdul Malik had sent spies to find out, and he knew that now Mus'ab now is by himself. Most of his, you know, close assistants were away from him. So now he is in a weak situation. So he sent his army against Mus'ab. When the fighting started, where did Mus'ab go? To Iraq. What is the habit of the people of Iraq? When people seek their help, they let them down. They let down Ali, they let down Al-Hussein, and now they started pulling out of Mus'ab's, you know, army, and he became, you know, with a few soldiers around him. So when Mus'ab realized that he is gonna lose, because not many people are with him, he told his son Isa, the oldest son, he told him, ride and go to your uncle in Mecca, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Just go and be safe there. Tell him what happened with us. His son Isa refused. He said, I'm not gonna go and leave you alone here fighting by yourself. He said, go. Tell your, you know, uncle what happened. He said, no, I'm not gonna run away. So the father says, I'm gonna stand and fight. I don't wanna run away. His son tells him, no, I'm not gonna go to Mecca, leaving you here by yourself. I'm gonna fight with you. So when the father Mus'ab found out that, realized that his son is not leaving, his son Isa, he told him then, why don't you fight ahead of me? Go ahead of me and fight. If you die before me, then I'll be patient with your death to get reward from Allah. See how these people thought about things? It's not like, hide my son, I want you to be safe. So his son Isa went ahead, fought until he was killed. Then Mus'ab fought until he was killed in the year 71. There are a lot of details that are interesting, really. But, you know, we're trying to make things short for ourselves. Inshallah, in another situation, we'll tell you some of the details. But Mus'ab was a very good man, very religious, very brave, very shrewd, etc. He is praised by, you know, many people. Even Abdul Malik, the one who sent the army against him, he, when people told him how he fought bravely, that he kept on fighting like tens of people and would not give up, even when they brought his head to him, they brought the head of Mus'ab to him, they told him how he fought. He said, that's the way I know him. He praised him. He did not. But he said, you know, being a leader leads me to do that. He tried to justify killing Mus'ab ibn Zubayr. He said, I wanted to be the leader, so I had to do it. And of course, it's like a thief. It says, I have to live, so I have to steal from people. That's not justified. But that's what he said. Because he knew him before he became the caliph. Then after Mus'ab died, Abdul Malik sent an army to fight Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who is was confessed to be the caliph among many Muslims. And he made the armor, the head of this army, a man called Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. From the same tribe as Al-Mukhtar, that fabricator, that liar. They're the same tribe. And he was a very ruthless person. He was very harsh person. He, you know, his heart was just very hard. And it's just like harder than a rock. And he would kill people for the slightest reason or no reason. He was very ruthless. He killed many, many Muslims. Later, inshallah, we'll tell you how big the number that he killed. So, now Mus'ab died. Mus'ab died. Abdullah ibn Zubayr received the news of his brother's death. So he went on al-Mimbar and addressed his people. And he said, Alhamdulillah yu'ti al-mulka man yasha wa yanzi'u al-mulka mimman yasha. So among the words that he said, addressing people after the death of his brother's news came, he said, praise to Allah, the one who gives mulk, gives leadership, gives, you know, dominion, if you want, control, to whomever he will, and he takes it away from whomever he will. أَلَا إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَذْلُلْ مَنْ كَانَ مَالْحَقُّ مَنْ كَانَ الْحَقُّ مَعَهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ فَرْدًا. He said, you should know that the one who has the truth, who is carrying the truth, is never humiliated, even if he was one by himself. وَلَمْ يَعْزُزْ مَنْ كَانَ وَلِيُّهُ الشَّيْطَانَ وَحِزْبَهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ الْأَنَامُ مَعَهُ. And he said, the one who is with the lion, is with al-shaytan and his group, is not honored, is not dignified, even if all people were with him. أَلَا وَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أَتَانَا مِنَ الْعِرَاقِ خَبَرٌ أَحْزَنَنَا وَأَفْرَحَنَا. And he said, we received news from Iraq that made us sad and happy. أَتَانَا قَتْلُ مُصْعَبٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. We received the news of the killing of Mus'ab, may Allah have mercy on him. فَأَمَّا فَرَحُنَا فَعِلْمُنَا أَنَّ قَتْلَهُ لَهُ شَهَادَةٌ. Now, what made us happy about this news is that we know that him being killed is martyrdom. He died as a martyr. That makes us happy. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي أَحْزَنَنَا فَإِنَّهُ لِفِرَاقِ الْحَمِيمِ لَوْعَةٌ يَجِدُهَا حَمِيمُهُ عِنْدَ الْمُصِيبَةِ ثُمَّ يَرْعَوِي مِنْ بَعْدِهَا ذُو الرَّأْيِ إِلَى جَمِيلِ الصَّبْرِ وَكَرِيمِ الْعَزَاءِ. And he said, what made this news, what made us sad about this news, the killing of Mus'ab, it is the separation, the departure from a very close person to me. There is a pain in such a matter. And this is a pain that the person who's close feels when this hardship comes. And then he calms down afterwards and resorts to the good patience, to the beautiful patience, and to the good consolation. So it means that a person, when he receives such news, he feels sad, etc. But then immediately afterwards, because he is wise, he is patient with his calamity. قال ولئن أصبت بمصعب لقد أصبت بالزبير قبله. He said, if I had been hit with the calamity of losing Mus'ab, my brother, or had been hit before with the calamity of losing my father, Az-Zubayr. Remember, Az-Zubayr was killed by Marwan. وَمَا أَنَا مِنْ عُثْمَانٍ بِخُلْوٍ مِنَ الْمُصِيبَةِ. And also, I'm not a wave, I'm not like devoid of having a calamity by the killing of Uthman, because Uthman was also a relative. So he's saying that Mus'ab, we received the news of Mus'ab's killing, so this is a calamity for me, but I had a calamity before, I lost my father, and also I lost Uthman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه. وما مصعب إلا عبد من عبيد الله وعون من أعوانه. And Mus'ab is not but a slave of Allah and an assistant, one of my assistants. وقد أسلمه من كان معه وخانوه. And those who were with Mus'ab, they let him down and they betrayed him. فَإِنْ يُقْتَلْ فَإِنَّا وَاللَّهِ لَا نَمُوتُ عَلَى مَضَاجِعِنَا. So, if Mus'ab has been killed, we, he's talking about himself, we, I swear by Allah, we will not die while we're asleep in our beds. It means it's not our habit to die in beds, it's our habit to go and die in jihad, in fighting. وَمَا نَمُوتُ إِلَّا قَعْصًا بِالرِّمَاحِ. وَمَا نَمُوتُ إِلَّا قَعْصًا بِالرِّمَاحِ وَطَعْنًا تَحْتَ ظِلَالِ السُّيُوفِ. And he said, and we do not die, means we, as Zubair's family, we do not die except by a stab from a spear, means while fighting, and by blows of the sword. It means we die only in fighting, we don't just die at home. أَلَا إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَّةٌ مِّنَ الْمَلِكِ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي لَا يَزُولُ سُلْطَانُهُ وَلَا يَبِيدُ مُلْكُهُ. This world, this dunya, this earthly life, is given to us from Allah, the Supreme One, the one whose dominion does not come to an end. So Allah allowed us to be in this life. Just like if you give a cooking pot to your neighbor to use it in cooking and they return it to you. Okay? So Allah gave us this life, allowed us to live in this life. فَإِن تُقْبِلْ لَا أَخُذُهَا أَخْذَ الْأَشْرِ الْبَطِرِ. If this life, this enjoyment, the pleasures of this life, the enticement of this life come to me, I do not take it, the taking of a person who does not thank Allah for it. Means if Allah made me wealthy, I will be thankful to Allah. I don't just take those blessings and reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or be ungrateful to Allah. وَإِن تُدْبِرْ لَا أَبْكِي عَلَيْهَا لَا أَبْكِي عَلَيْهَا بُكَاءَ الْخَرِقِ الْمَهِينَ. And if this life goes away from me, I don't get the pleasures of this life, it's not coming to me, I will not cry for not having it, the crying of a person who's surprised and is a humiliated person. Means I don't care for it. If it comes to me, I'll be thankful to Allah. If it goes away from me, I'm not going to be just like a person who's just surprised and dazzled that I don't have much of this world. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. And he said, I say these statements to you, and I ask Allah to forgive me and forgive you. Inshallah, next time we'll continue to see what he did after that. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.